Welcome to the end of the weekend.
Please don't let today be Monday. Please don't let today be Monday. Please, 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 please don't let today be Monday.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe.
And then what followed was bad, even by Monday standards.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back. Sports Sunday. You just heard it. I don't need to retype the show. You just heard it in the rejoin. I am Josh Briscoe. Rudy Salazar's over there. Rudy Salazar's name wasn't in the intro. So go follow Rudy. He's on Twitter, not that Rudy. How many followers do you have right now, Rudy? Ballpark.
I believe it's 677.
That's more than I thought you were going to say. Let's get Rudy to 700. Go follow him at not that Rudy. After you follow at JB Briscoe. Why not both? Some kind of just update as we go stuff. Jorge Bonifacio prepared a statement.
Ooh, 678.
And 678? We got to get you to 700. So Jorge Bonifacio had a statement today, said, "I made a mistake. I take full responsibility. Apologized to the fans and coaching staff and GM and owner." For what it's worth, I'm like down with that. Like, that's cool. Apology, take ownership. It sounds like he's handling it well. I will continue to make fun of the fact that he put horse steroids in his body by accident or on purpose. Like, honestly, it doesn't really matter to me. Like, that, the phrase that I just said to me is funny. And I really like Jorge Bonifacio. He, again, coming into the season, he was going to be my surprise player of the year. Realistically, that meant surprise like success story, not surprise guy who won't play for the first 80 games. Didn't go exactly according to plan, but again, hey, surprise. And I'm glad he's, you know, taking full responsibility and apologizing and whatever. Totally fine. I've got no beef with Jorge Bonifacio.
I really want to know, though, like, what is his reasoning for how he injected it, you know, got this accidentally? I just want to know, like, what the reason is.
Do you have to inject it? And I, honestly, JT was saying something that I think is reasonable. Like, you're just doing, you know, rehab and recuperation in one way or another, and you trust somebody to give you the best, you know, recuperation medication or whatever that you can get, and then you find out that you didn't look at the ingredient label close enough to realize what this guy was doing.
In the Dominican Republic, like, there are medications and drugs that are legal in the Dominican that aren't here. It's not as regulated in the Dominican as it is here. So there very well could have been just like a standard product that he would get here that wouldn't have this stuff in it that has it there.
Yes.
Totally possible. I'm just curious, like, what is the reason? Like, what is the accident? Like, with Mondesi, we found out it was like he had cough medicine.
Right.
Or, you know, I think it was cough medicine, and it had this drug in it.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's an off-season training thing. Like, you're trying to get into shape for a baseball season. You're trying to be in your best shape possible and your healthiest shape possible. And again, you trust somebody to give you the cocktail, and it's on you. And we know for a fact that every Major League Baseball team has, like, an army of guys in the organization. It's like, hey, before you put anything in your body, show me the ingredient label, and then we'll tell you if it's okay or not. Like, and that's why, and again, Mellinger said right when this happened that the Royals believe it to be an innocent mistake, or, you know, a dumb mistake or a lazy mistake or whatever. I'm going to buy what Mellinger says. If it's that, that's the way you do it. It's, yep, I was getting pretty standard boosts to my off-season performance, energy, recuperation, whatever. And I didn't take the ingredients list to the team chemist or whatever. That makes it, that's an innocent slash dumb slash lazy slash ignorant mistake, whatever it was, the words that the Mellinger used in that tweet. I buy that. That's fine. I mean, I don't, first of all, it doesn't really matter if I buy it or not. I don't, does anyone care? Like, right now, Do you care if it was purposeful? What did you just say? Whatever. Rudy says he's got two followers. Nice.
They're listening to you, Josh.
Oh, man.
Your army is taking control. I do like to think that you do have, like kind of like a little
I have
like
my,
Twitter army.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're, you know what they are? You know what I call them?
I don't know this, so I really need to know.
They're my homies.
Oh, of course. I should have known this.
They're my homies. At some point, I can give you a stirring rendition of Mahomes in the Range if you'd like. But does it matter to anybody if this was Bonifacio trying to, like, get an edge and then using a substance that was illegal, or if it was him just trying to do, like, his normal, like, off-season regiment, and then he ended up just getting a bad supplement, you know, that had something in it wasn't supposed to take, that horse steroids in it wasn't supposed to take? Does that matter to anybody? If you're super big into, like, the morality of sports, I guess it would matter your opinion on Bonifacio. But for me, the result's the same either way. He's going to miss 80 games that would have been good developmental time. And it's strike one for him against baseball. If you're baseball, and correct me if I'm wrong, and Rudy, if you don't know either, look this up for me, would you please? I think it's 80 games and then a year and then life. At this point, I think that's the setup. Rudy will check. We'll get you that actual information in a second. And so it's like it's strike one in that regard. I can't imagine, by the way, that baseball has anything other than your third strike being the lifetime ban. I think baseball is too into itself to not have a three strikes and you're out setup. It just feels like peak baseball. And so the result's the same. He's missing a bunch of games. It's going to hurt his development, and he's got his first strike against baseball as far as PEDs go. I guess maybe you could have a concern about it happening again if it was purposeful. You would have less of a concern if it was an accident, perhaps. And the Royals just have to tell Bonifacio, hey, don't let anybody other than us help you recuperate through an offseason or help you train through an offseason. It's got to be from us. We got to keep you clean. But...
yeah, so you're dead on with the suspensions. And then the first time, if you appeal it and they basically, like with Mondesi, like, okay, it was accidental, it gets dropped down to as low as 40. The second time,
interesting. Yeah. Is that an option for Bonifacio then?
Yeah, so if he appeals it, and then which would not necessarily to get it like completely reduced, but they determine the appeal board that, okay, this was accidental, it can actually be reduced by as much as 40 games. The second time, as much as 80 games. And then the third time, there is no appeal. Like, it's the third time, you're just done.
Right. Okay, interesting. I'm pulling up a Star article right now.
I think Mondesi got his all the way reduced to 40. I think from 80 to 40.
Mondesi served a suspension. It was reduced. 80 games for testing positive for clenbuterol. But the sentence was reduced to 50 games.
So it could be reduced. If he can prove, essentially, or at least convince them that this was accidental, they can knock it down.
I'm wondering if it's – because is it about being accidental or about the amount? Because this is saying that for Mondesi, that a trace amount of the drug was detected after he took an over-the-counter medication to treat cold symptoms. That – I don't know if it's about intent or about results. I'm not saying this to kick it around. I'm saying I genuinely do not know. But for Mondesi, the trace amount of it through a cough medication probably wouldn't have done anything. Bonifacio might not have meant to break a rule, but if he was taking horse steroids, even not knowing that it was against the bylaws, that could be
hard
to appeal.
I think it's not so much not knowing that's against the bylaws, but Mondesi took the cough syrup not knowing that drug was actually in said cough syrup. Mm-hmm. Now, my guess is in those situations, if you took something that you didn't know the ingredient was in there, it's probably a small amount anyways, as compared to like directly ingesting or however you
That's
take
true.
Or
the amount might matter.
So they're probably hand in hand. If you do it accidental, you're probably not taking a lot of it, while as if you do it on purpose, you're probably consuming quite a bit.
Interesting. That's a good call, Rudy. I hadn't even thought of that. But I haven't seen, and I'm just trying to go through the rounds right now and make sure, I haven't seen literally anything about Bonifacio potentially appealing.
Yeah, so far there's only been one player. So I guess, like, yeah, so once you receive the lifetime ban, after a year you can apply for reinstatement. Okay. And then you have to wait another year if you are reinstated. So basically you're out for at least 2 years. So far, Henry Mejia, who pitched for the Mets, was their closer before was going to be their closer the year they faced each other at the Royals in the World Series. Mm-hmm. He was suspended for that year. Jeurys Familia became the closer, but he's the only player so far who's been banned since the new drug policy came into effect, which has only been 2 years, so it's not like it's been that long of a time anyways.
It's good information. You are an encyclopedia.
I've got Wikipedia.
Fair enough.
And teachers told me that Wikipedia is not a good source.
Oh, it's a great source. No, it's a great source. It's a bad source for... Okay, let's take this rabbit trail for a moment. I had teachers like shoot straight on this one. Wikipedia is a bad source to directly source, because Wikipedia's information is... If you're in high school or college right now, listen up. Wikipedia is a bad primary source because it is just an amalgamation of primary sources. So if you see something on Wikipedia you want to quote, look at the superscript. The superscript with the little number, the hyperlink number. Click the number. It'll take you down to the bottom. You can find the actual source. Go to the actual source, or at least just cite that source. Like, go to cite the source to get the thing. It's great. Wikipedia is amazing for that. Wikipedia has your bibliography ready to go. It has all the things you actually need to complete the thing you're working on. Just don't cite wikipedia.com/the-french-revolution.
There's also just some really funny stuff with Wikipedia from times. Like, you remember when Ventura got in the fight and it was, you know, it says, you know, bat right, hands right, but instead of hands, it said throw.
Nice. That's funny.
Or no, it was throw right instead of throw. And so it says throw right.
Is it throw hands? That's good. Okay. I have now officially gone through Twitter and searched the Bonifacio reduce, Bonifacio appeal. And I've seen no one saying anything about that happening. So that might not be on the table for Bonifacio. But I'm glad we talked about it. Yeah, it seems like he's pretty much just sort of going like, yep, I messed up. See you in 80.
Which is probably like a good sign. Again, not that he didn't, not saying that they're lying and that he didn't take it accidentally, but at the very least there is enough of it in his system,
right,
that he can't really cry like plausible deniability.
Right. Where it's an 80 game suspension because you're getting the benefit of the thing, and it's really even if the intent wasn't to get an unfair advantage or whatever, you got it.
I believe too. So whenever you test positive, you're banned from the postseason, which obviously shouldn't be a problem this year. If it gets reduced though, they can, because I remember Mondesi was allowed. Obviously, he got his first at bat in the World Series. So if it does again. Gets reduced, deemed as not intentional, they can reinstate you for the playoffs. I don't think the Royals need to worry about that this year. Probably, safe to say, not going to be in any playoffs.
I just saw a tweet on my timeline from someone named Tanner. And this is damning evidence for us. This is actually from March 9th. But it said, we're going to start seeing more trades in the NFL now because these GMs are young enough to have played Madden franchise mode.
I've never thought about that.
This is literally
really good.
This is literally what we've been talking about for the last 2 days here.
And even, you know, if it's not the GM directly, like, a lot of his employees probably have. Like, people he trusts that he talks to that help work with these things. Like, yeah. A lot of the assistant GMs. Like, I've never thought about that. That's smart.
You want another really good sports story? I just saw this tweet. Providence, I saw Providence's coach during their game last night. I saw the highlight today. He had a Gatorade towel, like, in his pocket, it looked like. And so that's kind of weird. Like Sean Miller never even did. Like, how much are you sweating? Well, there's a tweet here now. This is Providence coach Ed Cooley is so into the Big East title game that, I pause, the picture now I see from behind is the towel tucked into his waistband. So into the Big East title game that he ripped his pants. That's awesome. That is, I would be, if I was a player for him, I would be so proud that my coach cared so much about this game that he ripped his pants while coaching.
I'm assuming he didn't, like, get into the defensive stance, because I love when coaches do that.
Yes.
They break down like they're going to play some defense. That's the guy you go to war with, man.
Get it?
That's the guy you go to war with.
I'd follow him through a, through a brick wall. Also here a couple hours ago, Paul Lucas at UniWatch. UniWatch is great. Tweeted, Providence coach Ed Cooley split his pants during last night's game versus Villanova and had to wear a cover-up towel. Can anyone think of other examples of coaches, players, or officials continuing to play slash coach slash work with split pants? Now, not to sound like a perv here, but I want to see his actually torn pants.
See how bad it really is.
Yeah, like, I want to know the damage. Because these pictures are all with the towel. And I'm curious, like, what's the... Is it like a... Oh, found it. Found it. Nope, never mind. This is a guy with a picture of himself coaching a high school game. This thread is now filled with... It's a thread now of coaches with ripped slacks. All right, fascinating. This is not where I thought my day was going to go, but I'm glad it's here, maybe, I guess. I don't know. That is a warrior, though, an absolute warrior. Not only has today's show kept a nice pace about itself and really just sort of stayed its own living being, we can, hold on. I've been corrected on Twitter. Tell me if I've screwed this up. I think I'm good. Maybe I tweeted some. No, okay. It's from JT Freeze on Twitter. It says, the noun regimen primarily refers to a systematic plan, in particular a regulated system of diet and exercise or a prescribed course of medical treatment. The noun regiment primarily refers to a military unit. Have I said regiment and meant regimen?
I just don't even remember you saying
totally,
the word.
It's totally plausible.
Yeah, like I don't remember every word, but
I'm not above. Yeah, please pay attention to me. I am not above correction. Oh, I was on with Cody on Sports Night last Wednesday, and he said irregardless, and I just sort of sat there and just like dug my fingernails into the arms of the chair. I didn't. Come on. I'm just gonna let it go. And I actually think irregardless is one of those words like funner. There's, like, actually been added to the dictionary. Well,
funner is definitely a word. Like, my English teacher used to use that all the time in high school. No joke. My English teacher really used the word funner all the time. He was also the football coach. That explains anything.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think it's... Okay, here we go. Merriam-Webster.com. Funner and funnest, worser, irregardless. I think the page is loading right now. I think worser is going to be in here because, you might know this, in my acting class senior year, we had to do a Shakespeare monologue along with a dramatic and a comedic. And I did a monologue from The Two Gentlemen of Verona, and my Shakespeare monologue. And at one point, I used the phrase, "For it hath the worser soul." And it was about like the soul of a person. It was actually talking about a shoe. I was holding my shoe in my hand at this point. It was very good. So I think worser is going to check out. This is too long. I can't read. I'm not going to be able to read a 10-part entry on Merriam-Webster's website. I guess I got to tell you a story about me doing a Shakespeare monologue.
Yeah, I'm going to bring this back to sports since we started off with a college basketball coach.
Sure.
Jay Williams tweeted out that he's hearing that Georgia is talking to Rick, or is they think Rick Pitino is who he's hearing with the Georgia job, potentially. So Rick Pitino could literally be back in basketball as soon as next year.
Yes, please. More sleaze.
Like, and I don't know if Jay Williams has broken necessarily a lot of college news, but he is a guy who's obviously very involved. Like he's around at all. Like if somebody would have an idea, like I trust that he's hearing Rick Pitino's name with the Georgia job.
First of all, I do think it's unfair for Pitino to try to get another job so quickly. Because considering that he is, in fact, a vampire, like, he can coach for the next 400 years. And this isn't going to be, like, he doesn't need a job right now. He could wait for Bill Self to retire. Like, that could be 20 years. Doesn't matter. That's, like, 8% of the rest of his coaching career. He can wait out. He can sit out for 20 years.
And by that point, nobody will remember anything. Like, we'll all forget about this. I mean, Pitino got out of his hole.
Yes.
Which is great that it's Pitino and Pitino.
They've both had
so many just sex scandals.
Yes.
Like, those two belong together at Louisville.
Yes. And that's the other thing is, like, the beautiful, like, Louisville cross-section. Not cross-section's not the word I was looking for. But the Venn diagram of Pitino, Pitrino, Louisville. This picture of Bobby Pitino in the neck brace with, like, the scratched-up face.
You go back far enough, those two are definitely related. I don't know how far you have to go back, but you go back far enough, you find it.
They're at the very least, like, just spiritual brothers. Oh, I hope Rick Pitino, I almost did it. I almost said Rick Pitino. I hope Rick Pitino is back in college basketball next year.
In the SEC would be pretty great too.
Yes.
With Kentucky and everything.
Yes.
Like, the fact that you would just right away you'd be playing Pitino again.
I think I am a sports libertarian. I want to deregulate everything. I was about to use the word deregulate. Wait a second. Like, hi, welcome to Sports Sunday with Gary Johnson, I guess. Deregulate the SEC. Legalize weed, deregulate the SEC. Let's go. Free market. Let's just see what they come up with.
I mean, the SEC is really close to that anyway.
Yes. Like, the SEC could govern itself.
Yeah. And they've even threatened the NCAA about doing this, like, multiple times.
The SEC is like Texas. Like, there would probably be some unforeseen circumstances. And also, I imagine that Ted Cruz is in charge of both of them somehow. But, like, Texas is like, no, I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna do it. We're gonna go. Oh, tell me how bad you want me to stay. No, you're not gonna. We're leaving. Texas and the SEC, hand in hand. Like California. It really is. It's probably a good thing that Texas and California are kind of like politically diametrically opposed. Because if Texas and California decided to like team up, and then they would have to, if they got like, I guess they could get like New Mexico and Arizona brought in on it too, right? And I guess maybe they needed Nevada. I'm trying to figure out how we can make like another country out of kind of the loudest of California.
I feel like
and
they
Texas.
Would steal Nevada. I feel like a lot of Nevada people, like just people in Nevada at any given time, are from California. So they would probably just like take Nevada with them.
I'm pulling up a map of the United States now. I want to make sure that we're getting there right. They could get by without Nevada. But it would really help their kind of land mass. But California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, they could sort of secure the southern border there. And then, yeah, then Colorado and Nevada are kind of like, and Utah are kind of optional.
That's the, like, the safety. That's the neutral zone. Like, that's
right.
Where no fighting's allowed to happen.
Like, are you making it a war now?
Yeah, it's like a war.
Are we here to reboot the Civil War?
Pretty much. Have you ever seen The Man on the High Castle?
No, I saw the trailer.
Really,
the trailer was wild.
Yeah, so it's really good. So it's essentially, you know, some alternate universe where Germany and Japan essentially take over. And in the middle, kind of where Nevada and stuff is, it's the neutral zone. It's like people can live, there's no fighting, it's safe.
In Nevada. I got to be honest, I got somewhere between point A and point Z here. I feel like we kind of lost the plot. I know we're talking about the SEC seceding from the NCAA, and then it became about Texas and California. And somewhere in there, I feel like At some point in this segment, we became every scientist in every movie. We're like, oh no, our creation is too powerful. It's taking over. I can't stop it anymore. It's got a mind of its own.
So James called back in.
Oh, yes,
and,
great.
So like he tuned out like shortly after for a little bit, and he just tuned back in, and now we're talking about this. And he did say this is the greatest sports radio show
he's
ever heard. So we won somebody today.
Woo! Take
which
that!
He picked the perfect times to tune in.
Yes.
Black Mirror Warriors with Texas and California.
Black Mirror Civil War II Electric Boogaloo.
And like there was some sports in between those two.
Yes.
And he just missed it, which is so great.
Perfect.
And the fact that he loves the show, just like that's the listener like we're going for.
Yes, it is. James, I appreciate you. Also, take that one guy who called in to say that he was tuning out and going to another station. I hope you're happy. You've missed some really good borderline sports content. There's no way you're having more fun wherever you're at now. I hope you're having an awesome time having Silvio De Sousa's box score read to you. We just rebooted Madden and the Civil War. Not Captain America Civil War or Avengers Civil War or Avengers Affinity War. No. An American Civil War. Admittedly, the Madden idea was much, much better.
Much far fewer people get injured in the Madden idea. Now, some
yeah,
obviously
some,
do.
Some, of course.
But, like, you know.
You sprain a thumb, like, that's going to happen.
Anytime you're working with billion-dollar ideas, like, some people are going to get caught in the crossfire.
Right. We're going to start a civil war between EA and Telltale. But that's better than starting a war between California and Texas versus everyone else. Deregulate the SEC. Also, don't watch the first episode of Black Mirror with your parents. We have doled out some unbelievable wisdom. And don't take horse steroids! What else could you possibly want? We're writing a book today. This weekend has been like a seminar for incoming sports fans. Oh, so good. Also, again, in case you're upset with the lack of sports, Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, according to Pro Football Focus, was the 58th best cornerback in football with a 77.2 overall grade last year. He's a free agent now. Aging, maybe, you know, maybe a one-year deal. That'd be interesting. Kind of one-year prove-it deal? Sure, why not? This mandatory sports content brought to you by these sponsors. I'm suggesting the Royals start doing lots of steroids.
This is Sports Sunday.
This next hour is going to be nuts.
With Joshua Briscoe.
You're going to have to buckle up and then just put your head between your knees and put your hands over your head like you're in a plane crash. Which, by the way, isn't going to help if, in fact, you ever are in a plane crash.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, how's an unbelievable tone shift sound, everybody?
Yeah, yeah.
Good? All right, fantastic. I actually, like, today's show, I'm feeling it. Both of these last 2 days, real good. But there's a story from this week that I just figured we would absolutely get to at some point, and now we're running out of time on the weekend. And so please forgive the sweeping tone change. But I want to talk about it. I think it's important. So here it is. Earlier this week, Kevin Love had an article come out, a piece, whatever, come out on the Players Tribune writing about his first panic attack, which happened, I believe it was against the Thunder, early this NBA season. And he wrote about how he had been having some just like whatever home life issues, and the team was struggling, and a bunch of things built up. And early on during the game, he started having a panic attack. He ended up going to the locker room, and I only read this piece once, but the one thing that stuck out to me, for reasons I'll explain in a second, was how he was just like, his heart was racing like crazy, and he was just walking from room to room in the locker room as if he had lost something and was trying to find it. But in reality, what he was doing was just trying to kind of like walk out the anxiety of an anxiety attack. Anyway, he ended up like laying on the floor just trying to catch his breath. If this isn't something that you're familiar with, if you haven't seen someone have a panic attack before, it's really hard to explain. And I know this because this is something that was hard to explain to me until I saw it. For me now, there are lots of people in my life that I've seen have panic attacks and other sort of depressive bouts and other kind of like overwhelming mental health episodes, and some of them, you know, long term over days or into a, you know, up and down more weeks or months. It's kind of it's an ongoing thing. It's one reason I think this is so important, because I see it a lot around me. Please feel free to pencil in any jokes now about how I'm the reason that all of my friends have panic attacks. This is free. This is fair game. Also, recently I read something that someone with a bunch of their own mental health issues talked about. We should be able to laugh more, because if someone broke their leg, like, you would sign the cast and then make fun of, you know, whatever the thing was in a lighthearted way. That's all like, hey, you idiot, you broke your leg. But it's like, hey, you know, there can be some humor in it. It doesn't have to be terribly dark and serious, as long as you take it seriously, if that makes sense. You take your broken leg to the doctor, and you can still sometimes have a sense of humor about whatever it was that happened. Anyway, that's a underlying part of this, but I assume that a large portion of people listening now have less experience than I do and less experience than Kevin Love does on this. So if you are in that class and you care, maybe it's one of your children, or it's a spouse or a friend or whatever, you go, I know that there's something here, but I don't really know much about it. I would hope to be helpful. But I think what Kevin Love did is stupendously helpful. And it's a reflection of how helpful what happened before him was, and what's happening after him is proof of it as well. And I'll explain all that. So Kevin Love wrote this piece on the Players Tribune about his panic attack and the help that the Cavs helped him get, and how by talking to this therapist, he started to piece together the anxieties that he had from whenever his grandma died, and they were really close, and other issues in his personal life. And said the therapist didn't immediately start asking about basketball, which was really good for him, because it wasn't the most obvious thing. It was other stuff going on. And he had a couple things in there that I think can really hit home. I would deeply, seriously encourage you to read. I'm not going to read you the whole Kevin Love piece, but please, if you have any interest in this at all, go read it, because it's important. And this is a place where sports are so important, because this is unfair, but I think it happens. Actors or people in media talk about anxiety and depression, and I think that people who live more in a sports arena will go, oh, come on, actors, it's soft. What are they whining about? What are they complaining about? You come back to the safe haven of sports, where no one complains about their illnesses or their injuries. You just rub some dirt on it. And that's why it's so important that we can talk about mental health in a sports arena, because athletes aren't supposed to be this kind of vulnerable. And so DeMar DeRozan started this conversation a few days before Kevin Love, and there's a quote from DeRozan. He says, "You get to a certain age where you feel like it's all about helping others. It's not about you just being a selfish person about the things you're going through. Other people are going through stuff as well. If you can share that and put that on the forefront, it can help somebody. Whether it's one person, 100, 1,000. I just finally got to that point where it was time for me to say something." And I think Kevin Love got to that point too. Because Kevin Love felt the pain of not having an advocate around him, not having someone in his same circle to support him. After Kevin Love had this panic attack, remember the story with the Cavs where it was Isaiah Thomas was calling out Kevin Love for was he faking an illness or faking an injury? This was a story. We talked about this story. And now I find about the reason behind it was that Kevin Love had this very real physical response to a psychological problem. And now Love decided, hey, I'm not gonna be questioned. I'm not gonna have my sincerity doubted, and I'm not gonna leave other people left having to do that for themselves. I'm gonna follow what DeRozan did, and I'm going to give you my story and my experiences and the things that worked for me, and I'm going to be vulnerable in an industry that doesn't allow it. And I think that's unbelievably important in sports. Sports can be a real sociological changer in that, because these are the macho men. These are the statuesque human beings that aren't allowed to show weakness or frailty in any way. And if you can buck that, you open up a realm of understanding to people who never saw it anywhere else, and for people who need to be able to look and go, hey, Kevin Love's that's an all-star basketball. DeMar DeRozan is an all-star basketball player. Kelly Oubre, former Jayhawk, came out after Kevin Love wrote this piece and talked about some of his own depression and his mental health. I mean, these are young star athletes. And this is especially important for young men and boys in the sports world who very often are going to be told, you walk it off. We're on a different level. We're doing this with concussions now. All of a sudden, the NFL is taking concussions seriously. Culturally, we're taking concussions more seriously, trying to get less brain injuries. Top-level sports set the precedent for that. We started to see the harm of it. You started to see the results. And I don't know why, but I still feel like I can feel people's skepticism, like going into their radio and then coming back out of the microphone here in this weird turn of events. I feel like I can feel some people like rolling their eyes still. And just please, if you trust me on anything, trust me on this. There was a quarterback, I can't remember even where he played, which is terrible, and I wish I would have looked it up, and I didn't. There was a quarterback, I should remember his name, more importantly, I guess. I don't know, a month or two ago, that committed suicide, and there was kind of the, a Twitter uprising of people going, hey, this is terrible and real, and we've got to be able to be a better environment for people who are having these battles. Did you look it up, Rudy?
Yeah, Tyler Helinski of Washington State.
Thank you. And so after his death, that popped up for a little while, and hey, how do we, this, you know, always, here's the suicide hotline and everything. We can be doing something so much more important, and so much, not more important, something so much more effective by supporting people whenever they come out with their own need for help and their own things that they're fighting with. And seriously, sports are a place where this is so desperately needed. And for me personally, I care about society and sociological issues and political issues that will occasionally get people upset with me on Twitter to some, you know, manageable extent. But I think here, I think we're safe on this one, where I hope that older generations look at what's happening now and we can do some learning from each other, because this generation is getting some things really, really right whenever it comes to talking about and dealing with mental health. And this is this one's going to sound slightly political, and it's really not. It's for me, it's experience of the people around me, and it's stories of the people who share them. For me, and I answer this, I guess, fill in the blank in your head first. When do you personally, you listening, when do you hear the most discussion, open discussion about mental health? On the news, on talk shows, around the water cooler. When is mental health brought up? In the public zeitgeist? I hear it the most after mass shootings. And for most people that actually need to be extended understanding and support, that's the worst time to talk about mental health. It's not a very welcoming environment for someone to say, hey, I know that you have this in mind whenever you think about mental illnesses. Or just like, and even the phrase mental illnesses isn't very generous. When you think about something as chemical, as your brain not making enough of the chemicals that make you feel good, that make most people feel good, which is a very physical thing. It's like chemical deficiencies. If you have a calcium deficiency, we know how to treat that. If you have an oxytocin deficiency, we also know how to treat that. But it's in your head, and so people get spooked by it. So what Kevin Love did, and what DeMar DeRozan did, and what Kelly Oubre did, it is so much better to talk about it this way, because it addresses the stigma and the misconceptions and the fears that come with addressing your own mental health. And this tangibly helps people. That's where if you actually want to be helpful and supportive of the people that need it, be supportive of Kevin Love and DeMar DeRozan and Kelly Oubre, and be supportive of the people around you publicly, openly, in conversations. I've also heard too many stories of people never telling their friends or family about what they have going on, because they know that their friends and family don't believe that the severity demands action, or that mental illness is something other than being sad whenever it's physiologically recognizable. Sorry for the most serious segment in the history of this radio show, but I think it's important. And not just important for like a few people, but important for a lot of people, and also something that sports very much can be helpful in. Rudy, can you play the clip of me telling the Royals to do lots of steroids? I'm suggesting the Royals start doing lots of steroids. I did that yesterday. I said that yesterday. And then Jorge Bonifacio got an 80-game suspension. I have future seeing powers. And I now that I know what I've been given, I will try to use it responsibly. Which is what you should do now with your new knowledge that you've been presented because of this show. Ha ha! I brought it together. Not really. All right, we'll close up shop next.
This is Sports Sunday.
Drake.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Welcome back to the very end of Sports Sunday. The end forever. The last ever episode.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Beards just walked in. I think Beards is feeling the heat. I'm afraid that Beards is going to, like, shank Rudy. Oh, why? Oh, well, because Beards is the producer of my show, Almost Entirely Sports, on ESPN Kansas City, 4 to 6 every weekday. 15:10 a.m., 94.5 FM. Thanks for asking. And Rudy's been here the last 2 days, and Rudy is spinning some heat. We dunked on Bill Polian apropos of nothing. We fixed Madden apropos of nothing. We had, like, as this ends, we're going to have had, like, 5 hours and 45 minutes of really fun radio, and then the 15 minutes where I lectured everybody about mental health. I understand that if you only heard the last 15 minutes, which is what Beards did. Beards was driving in. He said, I heard the last 2 minutes, and could you please be more serious next time? Yes. Great. Listen, man. Today's show has predominantly been about Jorge Bonifacio's horse steroids, Odell Beckham Jr.'s maybe cocaine, and pizza. Definitely pizza. And then brown cigar or cigarette and unnamed woman. And 45 seconds of Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie and episode 1 of Black Mirror. Also, I wanted to tell everybody about a band that I just found that only has 2 songs out, but it's called the band. It's the best band name of all time. It's called I Don't Know How, But They Found Me. And I love the band name, and it's from a former Panic at the Disco band member. And they got 2 songs out. There's a whole like aesthetic to it that's just brilliant. But there's a music recommendation too. And we even talked about Kanye West Virginia a little bit. Malik Newman is great. We touched on that. We explained that. Silvio De Sousa's playing like he's been taking horse steroids. Wait, what? Thank you, Rudy. Fun couple days. Thank you for listening. Talk to you later. Bye, Mom!